Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Rockcast. My voice is a little scratchy because I have a case of the cold, I think, and I'm about ready to go head out to the sheep show, which is not good, so I'm trying to kick it before I go, but it is Tuesday morning. It is January 14th, and kind of some housekeeping stuff. So sheep show's coming right up, like I just said, and some other shows as well. There's some threads over on the forum that you can ask questions for certain companies, because we're going to be taking the podcast stuff to the sheep show to get a couple done, and then taking it to Western Hunt, and we'll be doing a lot there. But those forum threads are over there open if you want to ask some questions, and I'll probably look at it again right before I go in with the company, but probably going to talk to Kafaro Outdoorsman's, try to get first light in there, and maybe some other ones when we're at sheep show. But anyway, it's over there if you have a question you're just dying to ask. So go over there and do that. Latest episode, we have the Cryptek Altitude line with Matt Cashel. Matt covers that in pretty good detail, and that's over there, and his written review is also live. So some new Rockside articles as well. Equipment is only half the battle by Chaz Carmichael. Chaz talks about how, you know, equipment is only half the battle, like the title says, but also trying to find a good hunting partner, kind of how he's dealt with that. And then Robbie reviewed the book Dennis Winch, Mule Deer Hunting Legend, reviewed by Robbie Denning. So he just kind of read the book, wrote about what he thought about it. So link is in the description if you want to check that out. And Hell's Canyon Armory Summit Barrel Review by John Troxel. And another one that came out that's also a new product that was just released is the Iron Will Wide 100. Iron Will came out with their Wide series, and I'll talk about that in a second. But and then, you know, the Cryptek Altitude early to mid-season clothing review by Matt Cashel, and that goes right along with the podcast we released last Saturday. So check those out. Some hot forum threads that I thought were kind of interesting. One of them that's gotten a lot of traffic is balancing a new baby and a passion for hunting. So I think that's just doing like a, you know, a life balance, I guess. And it's kind of interesting how some people do it and kind of what their experiences are. And then a reminder, the photo contest for the best whitetail picture sponsored by First Light is still going on right now. It's open for entries until tomorrow, January 15th. Get those in if you have whitetail photos, maybe win a whitetail system from First Light. And another interesting one is common backcountry injuries. Somebody was just kind of asking, like, what do you think are the most common backcountry injuries? There was a guy that said, you know, like a branch to the eye as you're walking back to camp or packing out or whatever, and you get a branch in your eye. I used to bring a pair of safety glasses. I haven't done that this past year or the year before that, I guess. So I haven't done it for a couple of years. But when I was filming and doing a lot of hunts, especially it seemed like when we rolled into October and the days started to shorten, we were always like either hiking in a long ways in the dark or a long ways back out in the dark. So I used to bring a pair of safety glasses with me. You can find the ones that are super light and just really don't take up much room. And they're kind of, I don't want to say indestructible, but they could take some beating in your pack. They can kind of get crushed and not be in too bad of shape. So stabbing yourself while quartering is another one, and just, you know, cutting yourself. I think Ryan Avery cut his finger and then he stabbed himself in the leg with a Havilon, like, or with a Taito, like all the way up. Like the whole blade was in his leg, I guess. Bad situation. But because of that, Justin Crosley started a thread called Let's Talk First Aid, and I have a link to that in the description as well. And then he basically just lays it out like, hey, I think they were skinning an elk, and Ryan cut his finger really bad, and between like three of those guys, they could kind of redneck some stuff together to make it work, but they didn't really have the right stuff to make it work, so they just kind of opened the forums to what everybody else brought. So I thought that was really interesting. And then another one that's, I think everybody should bring anyway, but bring dental floss. And this guy had a seed stuck in his tooth, and it just, like, the pain became really bad. Like, he had to hike out, he got like a dental pick and just picked it out, and then it was over. But he had to hike all the way out and back in to do that. And dental floss, you could also, like, that could also count for, like, if you had to stitch something up. I wouldn't say on your body, but I would say, like, on a clothing item or something, like, if your sleeping bag tears. And then something I kind of wanted to talk about extensively, I guess, there's a lot of stuff on here, is it's a new year, new products are starting to come out, so I wanted to talk about some of those products that I've seen come out and that kind of apply to what we do. So the Iron Will Wide series, like I mentioned before, it looks like a vented broadhead, it's just wider for just a wider cut. So that's Iron Will just came out with that, and like I said before, Les Welch came out with a written review, so if you're interested in that, head over and check that out. Spot Hog released a new release at ATA show. It's called the Tough Guy. It's really similar to their Wise Guy, but it's like completely adjustable for so it can fit any hand, really. And so that's kind of nice. And Mountain Tough Fitness Program, they just released two new programs, a spring and a fall training camp. And all together, I think this gets you 365 days of the year, because there's like a fall, their fall training camp is supposed to be used like during season. And then the spring training camp, I believe, is supposed to be used right between the post and the preseason program. So it'll stretch the preseason out a little bit, and then it'll get you some more like workouts during the fall, because as it is now, you do the postseason, you do the preseason, and there's like 3 months of season that you're not really doing anything. So that's a good deal coming over from Mount Tough Fitness. And then some new Stone Glacier products that came out with some stuff. They came out with some more clothing, actually. The Helios series hoodie and bottom, they're basically like a mid-layer, fleece layer, looks like. And they're kind of interesting. I haven't seen a design quite like it, so you should go look at it. And the M5 jacket and pant is going to be their rain gear. And then they added a new color that I believe the new color is coyote, because I've only seen those in gray before. But it's a two-tone with like a coyote brown, and then it has a light green on the two-tone. So you definitely can't mistake it for any other jacket. And First Light also came out with a bunch of their new stuff. And there's a big forum thread over there. On the forums, I'll link to that's just 2020 First Light things. The first thing they did, like the biggest, I guess, change as far as, I don't know, aesthetic-wise, is they added a new color, Stone Gray, and it's a pretty cool color, I think. They added that to pretty much all the line. There was a lot of it on there that was Stone Gray, so that's gonna be kind of a change to the whole line, I believe. And then they updated the Uncompahgre, so now they call it the 2.0 puffy jacket, the Uncompahgre 2.0. And it's new fit, it has a little bit of a new fit, and quieter. So that's good for some folks that kind of wanted a more quiet puffy jacket. And they did zip-off base layers. They have the Fuse zip-off boot tops, the Kiln zip-off long johns, and then the Furnace zip-off boot top. And I believe they did those, most of them, in the boot tops, just because you could zip them off and not have to undo your boots at all, which I think is a really good idea. I know some people on the forums have been kind of wondering, some don't like the boot tops because they roll up after you hike a ways, they'll like roll up to your knee. But if you just tuck your socks, if you tuck them into the top of your socks, that if you wear socks, I guess like a lot of us, they come over the top of your boots anyways. So you can just tuck those in the top of your socks, and then it's really nice. And then like what I did this year with those boot tops is if I got hot or whatever when I was hiking, I would just reach down by my knee and just like grab a hold of my pants and try to grab a hold of those base layers too and pull them up above my knee, and it just kind of seemed to like breathe a little bit better. So there's that. And then the Brooks Down vest and the Catalyst vest, so they have a couple vests. I can't wait to get my hands on that Catalyst one. And then the women's line is also expanded, and I wore a lot of these pieces, actually all of these pieces, this fall. into that the 2019 fall. So they have a wick tank and a tee. So they have a t-shirt and a wick or a tank top. That's the wick version. That's the really light, you know, next to skin merino layer. Then they're offering a furnace set now in the women's. Little Jordan wore that a ton. She loves that set. And then I also wore it as well. And it's pretty awesome. Especially for those late season sits. It's like a heavy merino with a fleece backer. And I really like that set. And then they did like the Brooks Down sweater puffy that came out last year for the men's. But this year they came out with it in a women's cut. And I've really been liking that. And then the obsidian pant. So now the women have an option for like a really quiet merino pant. And I wore those in high country this year for mule deer. And you just can't beat it for that, especially that we had a lot of days where there was like no wind and everything's just, I had to take my shoes off like a long ways from the deer just because I felt like they were going to be able to hear me. But those obsidian pants were really nice. Whereas something like, you know, the women's Alturas guide pant, I love that pant. Super, super durable. If I was going to have one pant, that's what it would be. But having that obsidian for early season when you need to be super quiet is really nice. So I like that. I didn't have much durability issues. I know some people are ripping them out. I've worn them in Arizona. I've worn the men's version like in Arizona. Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, and I wore them a lot, and I didn't rip them out at all, and I wore them through some nasty thorn bushes when I was in Arizona, so been good pants for me, and they're just a good option to be introduced in, like, the women's line. Then they also have the Guide Light short and the Ranger Stretch snap shirt, and the Ranger Stretch snap shirt seems cool just, like, for an everyday shirt. And then the Guide Light short that came out with the Guide Light pants last year, they just made that in a short version. And then they have a new one I'm super interested to get my hands on because I haven't yet once I get to the show. But the Ridgeline quarter zip pullover, it's like a light nylon layer. In my brain, I'd imagine it's pretty similar to like the Sitka Core lightweight hoodie. I won't know till I get there, but it does not have a hood. So that's a difference, I guess. But kind of some other things. Sitka Gear, I haven't heard anything yet. Usually they're at the ATA show and they come out with their new stuff, but they were not there this year. So I'm not sure. There is a Rock Slide thread on it, though, if you want to go follow it. And people are kind of looking for any leaked info. And nothing's really been released yet, but looks like they're going to have a new binocular harness. And somebody had a picture of it on that thread. So go check it out. Moving on to some news from Go Hunt. There have been wolves spotted in Colorado. Somebody said they saw six large canids traveling together in northwest Colorado. Previously, Go Hunt kind of, they wrote an article just not too long ago about Initiative 107 that was made it into the ballot and that's going to be voted on here coming up. And if it is approved, the state will be required to reintroduce wolves to western Colorado by the end of 2023. So that's something that I certainly hope doesn't go through, because that's going to take a, you know, just the general, the wildlife there is going to take an impact on that. But both threads are, or both articles are listed in the description. And then another one I saw was the Colorado Parks and Wildlife increased their revenue up 20% from last year, which equaled in like nearly $16 million difference. So that's interesting. And between 18 and 19, that total is in over $96 million for those years. And basically what Colorado Parks and Wildlife did was last year they changed it to where you had to buy a hunting license before you bought your elk and deer tag. I didn't get in. Hopefully I'm explaining that correctly, because I didn't get in on the draw last year. I just bought a point. And then I had talked a couple of times about the mountain goat call that's going to take place in the Grand Tetons, and it is now underway. It's going to take the mountain goat population out. And from the article, it sounded like there was like 100 goats, and they're going to take a helicopter in and shoot them out of the helicopter. And the reason they're doing this is that is not a native mountain goat area, I guess. And they're kind of pushing the bighorn sheep out, and it's not a good situation. So in order to keep the bighorn sheep population healthy, they're going to take these mountain goats out. And so, yeah, that's what's going on there. The hot minute today, I had Jim Carr on the other day, and I asked him, you know, where do you camp once you find animals? How close do you want to be to them? And so we're going to dive into that now. How do you like to camp? Like, how far do you like to camp away from, you know, those deer or elk or whatever? You know, I'm kind of just thinking, like, the hunt that we did, we thought the elk were going to be over, you know, there was a certain slope that you guys thought they were going to be on, and then we were on the other slope and camped down a little bit, just because I think that's, like, the flattest spot that we could find, too, but,
it was the closest spot. I don't think there was any spot anywhere up the mountain that we could have camped on.
No, it would have been horrible. We would have had been right on top, but can you kind of talk about that at all? Because I think some guys, they camp too close. They almost camp right in where the deer are. And I think that, you know, deer, they don't take too much of that, and they'll kind of disappear on you.
And same with the elk. I mean, we honestly, where we camped this time, it was too close.
Yeah.
You know, it was too close. I didn't realize there would be that many elk on that side, you know, on that side of the mountain as well. And then, I don't know that it changed anything due to the fact that one guy has opened up on that the night before the season. You remember mm-hmm. that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I do.
All that shooting going on. So I don't think that helped anything. But if I was to encourage anybody, I would like to get where you're within a good striking distance, but I'd like to stay back as far as possible, and mainly maybe using the topography as a shield, ideally where we would have been, a little bit further, you know, that we were in a perfect meadow there, but we would have been on the, on the north side of where, you know, that we had been on the other side of that hill, just to the north of where we camped at, you know, down the slope a little bit away from the habitat. Cause out right off that ridge was where all the habitat was. You know, obviously I used glass all those bulls up the day before on the other side, but we couldn't see this side, but that whole ridge line either side was golden, you know, so we needed to be back just a little bit further, but within striking distance. So you don't want to have to hike at all. You don't know, you don't want to make it so you're blowing through there in the morning too. You know, you kind of want to be able to take your time to get to your spot, not be, if you're going to camp, you want to be striking distance, but not necessarily, definitely not where we were at. You know, you don't want to be in their mm-hmm. spot where they might be feeding all night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then I guess kind of the same for, like, you know, early mule deer, let's say, like I watched some guys in Colorado camp, I mean, right in the middle of where those mule deer had been feeding and were going to feed. And I know those guys were mule deer hunting too, and they came and camped like right in the middle of it. I mean, you probably don't want to just be able to super easily unzip your door and be glassing deer up from your tent. I wouldn't suggest, no. I guess.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Unless you have like a nice little hole that you can get into. Definitely traveling to you in front of your, this is one thing you got to do in a situation like that. A lot of times it takes a little hump to get up to the best glassing spots, and say you're going to glass a bunch of basins off the top of one of those mountain, you know, high country mountains. And it's inviting to, I can see where those hunters are inviting to stay in a nice meadow or where, you know, a nice little bench where those deer are hanging out at, you know, but that's not a place you wouldn't want to do that. Unless you know, you were there prior and you knew where the deer weren't hanging out on a bench, but you kind of use topography, you know, maybe get into a little hole somewhere that you can get up to the ridge quick enough. Basically, one of the worst things I've seen, even during the middle of, I mean, one season we found all these bucks and they were in this basin, and I was taking a couple kids up there to try to kill a good buck. And we had there was a nice buck. I remember, I thought we'd had him. But right, you know, before light, we had two dummies with headlights on walk up the bottom. We watched them walk up, and they walked right through the basin where all the deer were at. We had went up a north slope and kept ourselves in the timber the whole time. You know, we were not in deer habitat. So we picked the best route to go up the mountain that would have been out of the habitat, you know, because just glassing in the evening before, you can see where all the deer are at. You know, they're all in these basins and these like more aspeny type slopes, but there's north slopes that really don't hold a lot of deer. So that's where we walked up, and we made sure we stayed out of, and we were up there early enough that we didn't have to turn our lights off. You know, we didn't have any lights on. We just kind of eased up there, and we kind of knew where we were at. But then you have all the hunters on opening morning and just walking right through. I've seen it so many times where you see them walking through the habitat in the morning. I don't know that it'd almost be better to be camped somewhere during the day, because I feel the deer more able to take pressure during the middle of the day whenever they're bedded up, and you know, as opposed when they're out feeding, that's when they're really you know, they're a lot more spooky. Then if you can keep yourself kind of off of the skyline and walking up the timber in the middle of the day and then find a kind of little hole that's not in the habitat, maybe in the timber somewhere, or, you know, on the least likely basin to be in, that's where I would camp at.
All right. Great to hear from Jim Carr there. And yeah, I hope everybody has an awesome rest of the week and weekend. If anybody's going to the Sheep Show, come hit us up at the Kafaru booth. And I'm sure we'll all be walking around, but if you want to get fitted for a pack or look at the Kafaru packs, come over and talk to us. And if you have any questions you want to get answered by some of those companies on the podcast, head over to the forums like I talked about before and put those questions in, and I'll try to get to them. And upcoming episodes, you got a little taste of Jim Carr there. And we are going to continue with him. On Saturday, we will release an episode with Jim about early season scouting in hunting burn areas. So that should be a really interesting one. And then you guys can expect kind of the latter part of the month is when we'll start rolling out these podcasts that we're doing at the shows. So again, hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on the next one.